Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday, the 4th of April. I've got a bit of mindset at the end of this, so when I finish talking my cobblers, stay on and we're talking about one method, finding one method, how we're going to go about that. The old Spuds, eh? The old Spuds, 5-1. It is like watching Brazil, isn't it? 5 against Everton, 3 against West Ham, 5 against Newcastle yesterday. As I say, Tom Bowley, you don't know which one's going to turn up. They played all right first 20-25 minutes, but didn't look like breaking through, to be honest. It was all a bit slow and ponderous. And then obviously Newcastle scored, and it they sprung into life. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Bentancur again, excellent. I thought he played particularly well yesterday, seeing as he still had Declan Rice in his pocket from the West Ham game. So having to carry him round as well and still play like that was superb. And next up is the old Gerard Ball next week. Gerard Ball, honestly. I wonder when he goes, because he's not going to be the man. I know they're desperate for it and all the Gerard Ball will stop, but when he goes and they get Bruce in, I wonder if it'll, you know, as he does, he continues his tour of the Midlands, I wonder if they'll be going Bruce Ball. Big game. I'm going to get pelters if we don't beat them next week. Take a draw now. And at the Palace tonight, Vieira, whoa, let's get the old Palace up. Wigan disappointing when it took the lead. Couldn't hold on. Bolton equalised in the big derby up there. Cardiff, Wales, second city got absolutely stuffed, didn't they, by Swansea? Absolutely belted. Birmingham beat West Brom. Steve Bruce's days are numbered. Wolves obviously beat Villa. And Brentford, told you, didn't I? What an inspired signing Christian Eriksen was for them. Fair play to them for taking, you know, the plunge, given what's happened. Fantastic story that's turning into. You know, scored with his first touch back for Denmark. And what a result that was, 4-1 against Chelsea. And obviously got the big Man City Liverpool game coming up, haven't we? Put them Liverpool boys back in their box. We'll put them in their box when we get to Anfield anyway, once we get up there and old Harry gets a couple. So I took four people. So I probably wouldn't, with what all that's going on, I probably wouldn't have gone yesterday, but I'd made arrangements a long time ago to take four people. All FTS connected. I'm not going to name names, because they don't have a day out with me to then get abuse, but one of them was a father with his daughter. Lovely, fantastic fun, great company. She was good fun, her first game at Spurs. She'd been to Newcastle games, but her first game at Spurs. I think we got her to come over. But we all met at St Pancras. And the other was a FTS member with his wife. FTS member is a Newcastle fan. Sent me. I've got four seats where I sit, so I've got four. And then my brother's got two, and they're a bit further down. So we had four there and then two down. And I said, right, we'll have the first half, because you have to get the experience of me and Suggsy. We'll have the father and daughter first half and then swap, and we'll have the husband and wife next to us second half. So he's down there in front of us, and Newcastle score. Couldn't help himself, text me a little WhatsApp message from about 10 rows in front. And then when I was jumping up and down next to him second half, very quiet. But we all met at St Pancras. Obviously, no, they'd never met each other. All, hello, how are you doing? And the guy's wife sits down, starts talking to the daughter. All right, yeah, lovely. School, blah, blah, all just the usual small talk. She went, and the little one went, yeah, I got to school. She said, one of our teachers was a paedophile. To which the wife went, a proper one. So, what's a proper paedophile? I didn't know there was non-proper paedophiles, is basically where I'm going. I didn't know such a thing existed. You've got proper paedophiles and non-proper ones. And everywhere I go now, cups of tea come up. Everybody who talks to me wants to... guy's wife, I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to embarrass him. But she talked me through how she made tea. She actually had a cup of tea, which she'd gone and got from somewhere. I don't think she'd bought it with her. She'd gone and she'd asked him to make it like this. It's just staggering. She basically just waves the tea bag over the top like a magic spell, and then puts milk in, and a lot of milk, And at home, because she puts so much milk in, it cools it down. She then puts it in the microwave. And she took the lid off this thing. Honestly, it was a puddle. It's just like you've been in a dusty, sandy road and a puddle's, rained, and there's puddles there, and you've gone and got your cup and scooped it out. Absolutely disgusting. I'm going to have to do an ebook on tea making, video YouTube series on tea making and cooking. That could be my next bit of work. Oh, Sam's home. Ah, Sam's home. This is another story. Sam's home because somebody's run over her phone, so she's had to come home. I'm going to come back there. I'm going to pause this because I'm going to say hello because she's going to, and then I'll come back. Right, I'm back. There we go. She took, they're all down in Devon, the old family, and they took one of her other brother's dogs out for a walk and got back. She jumped out the car with the dog. He was going off somewhere else. As she jumped out the car, her phone fell out of her pocket. He reversed the car out over her phone. So everything's in my name. So she's come home to get a new phone sorted out, and then it's going back again. So I've just been dealing with that for the last hour. So I'm back. I've had a bit of a morning. You'll never madness. This is all. Everything's going pear shaped. I don't talk a lot to my neighbours, I'll be honest. One lot I can't stand, the other lot I say hello to. The one I say hello to, the woman's knocked on the door. I was ever long lived here, probably only knocked on the door once, twice. Could you do me a favour? Early this morning it was. Could you do me a favour? I said, I'll try to. I've got to go for a medical appointment. I've got really bad psoriasis. And I don't know where it is. Her husband's at work. She said, I've got an ear infection. I'm feeling a bit dizzy. Would you be able to drive me to this medical place? Not hospital. I mean, you don't go to hospitals now, do you? Everything's like outsourced to different places as the NHS gets broken up and privatised under our noses. We'll get to that another day. I said, yeah, okay. I said, it's not a problem. I said, what time is it? She said, appointment's at 11:50. I said, yeah, I've got some bits to do. I said, Sam's going to be back at some time, but I'll let her know I might be out. This, that and the other, anyway. So I, she said, I've got this psoriasis. She then proceeded to show me it. And she was wearing, I don't know what the material is. It's like youngsters wear. I mean, she's about 20 years older than me, in her 70s. It's like, it's not shell suits, but like these sort of velvet track suits. I genuinely don't know what it's called. Sort of beige sandy colour velvet track suit. So she's pulled her arm up, shown me her arm, and it does look horrendous. She then, on my porch, has basically pulled her trousers down. She's commando. She's just shown me all her bits. And this rash going all down her leg. But she hasn't, I don't even know what's going on. I was trying to sort something out with Dave at the time. He said, see, the local cougars are trying to chat you up because Sam's away. She basically has just stripped on my porch. I don't know. Unbelievable. But yes, in between Sam arrived before that, I've taken her. I'm back from there. So what a podcast this is. I've completely and utterly, because I started this about 2 hours ago, completely and utterly forgotten where I was. So I'm going to leave it now. I'll gather my thoughts again, ready for one tomorrow or Wednesday. I don't know what day. It depends whether Sam's going back tonight, tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. Everything is up in arms, honestly, but she doesn't want to be down there without a phone communicating with people. So sort that out. This is more trips to Devon. I mean, it's not exactly a fucking short way away, is it? More trips to Devon and back than I've ever known. But extenuating circumstances. So I'm going to get that sorted. I did have some other stuff, but as I say, my brain's gone. So if you hang on for the end of this, I've tacked something on the end about using or starting with one method, and I will build that out over as we go. Obviously, home life's a little bit up in the air at the minute. I don't know what's going to happen here long term, but I'll just keep functioning as normal. Nothing FTS-wise will be damaged. Everything will be continuing as normal. Punting, I'm going to get the trading game this week, so just chillax, and I'll be with you as I go. We do have a midweek ultimate process, and I will get that out tomorrow as normal. Welcome to the next in the series of this sort of mindset series, trying to help you become better bettors, hopefully profitable bettors, hopefully, you know, doing it for a living. So we did some goals and planning. What I want to talk to you about today is actually getting started, the actual mechanics of getting started. And what people tend to do, as I've said, is get involved in the money side first. So they see money, they perhaps see a bit of glamour in it, they perhaps think it's easy. So that tends to be where they go, and then they dive in and click and start messing around and end up losing money. Once that starts, then they, oh, how can I get that back? And they'll go off and find something else. And you end up in this spiral of actually not going anywhere. And the biggest thing that I will say to people, other than getting drawn into it for the wrong reasons with the money and this, that and the other, is categorically, everybody tries to do too much from the outset without any clear thought. So hopefully if you've done your goals and then you've done a bit of planning, you're now in a stage where, right, let's actually, how would we look at this? And I'll go back to what I started, and you know, admittedly it was 15 to 20 years ago now. I did lay the draw for 3 years, and I really want to hammer that home. I get bored saying it, but I did lay the draw, nothing else, one method for 3 complete years. I did not place one other single type of bet other than maybe a bet on the Grand National in that 3 years. So what I want you all to do, and I accept that I'm dealing again with people of vastly different levels and that, but let's just say, right, we're coming at this now, particularly for beginners or people who haven't been winning or are really struggling or prone to jumping around from thing to thing. Let's just come into this now. We'll sort of close your eyes, open them and go, I've never done this before. Never, ever. I know nothing about it. I've never done this before. What is it that you want to do? What are you going to do? What can you do? What are you prepared to do? How hard are you prepared to work? Where do you want to take it? And that has to start, like we were starting with any other business, with one thing. So the first thing that, if I was doing this again, starting from scratch and pretending I knew nothing, my first thing would be, what am I going to do? What market am I going to operate in? And what am I looking at? And there's various things you could do. You could do match odds, lay the draw. You could do match odds back in home teams and removing liability when they scored. You could do second half goals focusing in the last 20 minutes of the match. You could do half time two aheads. You could do over 1.5 goals and do it the way I do it, enter late on. You could do over 2.5 goals from the outset. There's so many things you could do. You could do, you know, back in under 3.5 goals at the start and trading it as no goals went in. There's so many things you can do, and what people tend to do is run around in this melee trying to do them all. And I'm talking football there, but racing would be exactly the same. Are you going to do pre-race trading? Are you going to do in-play trading? Are you going to focus on specific race types? Are you going to play in the early parts of a race? Are you going to try and play in the late parts of the race if you're in play trading? Are you going to, if you're doing pre-race trading, are you going to focus on favourites? Are you going to focus on certain races with certain numbers of runners? What is it that you are going to do? And what I want everybody to do, and I've done in the summer school that we did on FTS, we did a 100-day challenge. I want everybody who's serious about this to forget everything else they do. Of course, you can carry on doing that in the background, but for this process, I'd like everybody to choose one thing. Just choose one thing and let's see if we can take you on a journey that actually makes it work. So we're going to start at the beginning and talk you right through it, hopefully, and actually get it working, because everybody tries to do too much. So the way I work is fairly simple. I have huge amounts of data. I use that data to look at and see what worked. So what has worked in the past? I then build out that data to how can I use it forward? What bits do I need out of it? And then I'll test it forward and then I'll tweak it, use it, and eventually I'll get to a point where all that work that I've put in, so I've put in a lot of work researching this, that and the other, what I want to do, taking it forward, what elements do I want to take forward to actually becoming something that becomes fairly simple to operate, because I've done all the work and now I've got, you know, it might be a year down the line, I go, I'm happy with how that works now. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm as guilty, because I give people lots of things. You know, half-time tour hits, early goals, lay the draw half-time, correct score half-time, lays at half, whatever it may be. But we put it all out there because that's all bits and elements that I use, but you don't need to use it all. So pick one market, and for summer school I did it for you. I picked 1.5. What I want people to do now is pick one thing. Go away from after this, right, I'm going to do one thing. And I'm talking predominantly trading here. Now, if we're doing fixed odds betting, and I'll cover that in a separate one when we talk, that's more about getting set up and get your staking and putting on every bet. I'm talking about actually sitting there trading and thinking, I want to make 5 to 10% a month trading football or trading racing. How can I go about doing it? And it's got to start with one thing. This premise that you can use one thing, fail at it, can't make it work, so you'll just go off and do another thing, is madness. So for me, for example, let's say I want to back over 1.5 goals. So let's say I want to back over 1.5 goals, the one I did in summer school, and trade it in play. Or half-time two ahead. So let's take those two. They're two that I've tended to give people over the last couple of years. So the first thing for me is obviously identifying games where I think there's going to be a goal. That's the first question we ask. So what do we need to happen? I need goals. You know, whether I'm laying the draw, whatever. If I'm getting involved in overs markets or laying the draw, I need a goal. So the first thing is I need a way of identifying games that produce goals. I can look at games and go, I think there'll be a goal there. I could do it that way. I could build a Poisson model, so I'm now building that before I've done anything, building that going, right, I want that model to tell me games that are likely to have goals based on the two teams playing and what the numbers they're generating. That's what Poisson can do for you. I could use the market. I could say, right, I'm going to use games where pre-match it's between 1.5 and 1.75 for over 2.5 goals. The market's telling me it expects goals. Or half-time two aheads. I personally like games that are odds on pre-match, but 1.75 to 2 at half-time for the two-ahead market. So you can end up digging through and finding these bits and pieces to identify games that you want to take forward for your method. So the first thing is to choose a method. Then is, how am I going to identify games for that method? Before we even talk about bets and what types of trade we're going to place and how we're going to do it, what am I going to do? What is it I'm looking to do? How am I going to identify games that I'm going to play? And we don't even need to talk about staking yet. How am I going to play them? So if we were talking over 1.5, are we going to play it from the start? Are we going to play it based on a certain price in place? So we need to actually watch and enter at that price. Are we going to play it based on a minute? So we're going to enter at 25 minutes, no matter what, 25, 35, whatever it may be. If it was a half-time correct score, two ahead, are we going to bet as soon as the half-time whistle goes? Are we going to bet as soon as the second half starts? Are we going to bet, again, based on a price? So when it gets to 2.2 in the second half, are we going to bet on a certain minute? I only want to focus late on, so I'm going to wait till 65 minutes. Now, obviously, you've got less time for two goals, but the price is better. If you get one, you can trade it. What is it that I'm looking to do? How am I going to do it? All this can be planned out and mapped out. Before you do anything, write down, this is what I'm looking to do. This is how I'm going to choose my games. This is how the price or minute or how I'm going to play it. Then you can test it forward. Then you can just sit there for 30 days and test it. And sit and do it. You've got a process. You've built yourself a process of, this is what I'm going to do in one market, one type of trade. Are you going to green up? Are you going to red out? Are you going to let it ride? What? Not picking and choosing as the days come and go. Actual full trading plan from start to finish, right through. What is it that I'm going to do? And how am I going to trade it? And it's got to suit you. This is the bit. So for me, saying to people, right, we're going to do half-time two ahead. When a goal goes in, I'm going to remove my liability. I make nothing if there's not another goal. That might not suit people. And I know it doesn't suit people because I did that exact experiment with a couple of FTS members, one greening up, one not greening up. The one who greened up made more money and felt much better than the guy sitting there waiting for a second goal that didn't get the second goal. So long term, the waiting for the second goal might well have panned out, because you're taking, when you do get a win, you're getting a bigger win. But you have those runs where you only get one goal in 8-9 games, so you feel like you're wasting a lot of time perhaps. So all those things need to come into how do you want to do this if you want to take it seriously. And what staggers me, you know, and certainly working with some of the guys who do the racing a bit closer, is that people think they can just get up, buy an ebook, or go on a forum, or speak to a couple of other FTS members in a WhatsApp group, or do, and just do these things. Oh, I can just do that. I'll do. He's doing really well with it. I'm going to do what he does, because you don't know exactly what he's doing. Nobody ever tells you fully exactly every single second of what they're doing. And I want to get to a stage where I show a lot more of what I do over the next 2, 3, 4 years. But ultimately, that you can do it for yourself. That is the holy grail for me, is that people can do, you know, things for themselves. So you're having a bad run, and my fixed odd stuff, some of it has bad runs, but I can sit and trade and I can manage everything I do. And again, you'll still have bad runs. You'll do 1.5 and you'll find I'm going to do short odds on prices, whatever it may be, over 2.5. Market's telling me it'd be goals, so I'm going to pick those games. I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait. Early goal. Oh, the one I've got, it's got the 20 minutes 0-0. It's finished 0-0. How's that finished 0-0? These things are always going to happen. There's absolutely, don't let anybody ever tell you any different. This game is a grind, whether it's racing, football, golf. Golf, for example, I've moved into golf trading a lot more, but I never play on a Thursday. So I find the guys who can pick out golfers pre-event, I find them almost superheroes. When you've got 160 people and you can sit there and go, I think he might win it, and there's value in that price, I think it's a fantastic skill. It's not something I've looked into fully. Had a bit of a go at it over different times, but it was a time thing. But what I do now, and I've done for the last year, is I play golf. I thought, what suits me? I hated doing the work before, and I was out of the tournament Thursday because my guys had got the wrong side of the draw in the weather, and I put some work in, identified some golfers, bet them, and then you get up Friday morning and they're all out of it. Nobody can win, it's all out of it. So I looked at how I traded golf. How do I want to do it? What suits me? I play after the first round. After the first round, the field of 160 pretty much has gone down to only 30 or 40 guys who can now win it. There's trends for, particularly in tournaments, of people who are in between certain shots of the lead. Very few people win wire to wire, so I pretty much can rule out the leader, unless you've got 3 or 4 tied for the lead. But I pretty much, if somebody's gone off and shot 7 under, and then he's got a host of people in behind him at 5, 4 under, they're what I look at. And then I look at, I've got some stuff I look at for them and think, right, I do think he's going to push on in this tournament. I'm not looking for him to win it. I'm looking for him to trade it. So I can back golfers round about 15, 18, 20 after the first round, knowing they're up there and they've got a chance, but all I need them to do is shorten. It's been a really successful model for me over the last couple of years. But I built that out by, now I know they're, rather than trying to form an opinion pre-tournament, now I know they can play the golf course. Now I know they're in the mix. Now I know a certain percentage of people who lead don't win. Very rarely do people go wire to wire in golf, other than Hideki at the Club Championship. So I can build that out and find a trading method in there. So that's how I approach golf. What suits me? Pre-event didn't suit me. Trying to pick out of 160, 70 didn't suit me. Narrow it down. I've now got a nice little niche of there, and it might be something I share going forward. I want to do it myself for a good period of time and be able to say to you guys, this is what I do. But if we go back to, if we use football, I think picking one market, right? So over 1.5 is probably suitable to a lot of people because they can do all their stuff pre-match. If you're going to do correct score, half-time 2 aheads, for example, so it's 1-0, you're going to back over 2.5. Obviously, you've got to be around when that happens. You've got to know the half-time score, maybe check prices, whatever. But the key to all of it is putting a load of effort in now to one method, using it 30 days, tweak it? What do I need to change? What have I got wrong there? What isn't working? And is it you that's not working, as in your execution of it, the staking of it? And as with all these things, test them for tiny stakes. You can go in with 2-3 quids, test it for tiny stakes. Is it me that's not working? Am I taking, when I take a win, is it too small compared to what I lose? All that can be done with the same small money. Or is it the process that is giving me the games out? You know, we can all look at games and go, that'll give us goals, that'll be goals, that'll be goals, and we'll get a load right, we'll get some wrong. You know, that's the first question. Tottenham playing Newcastle, will there be a goal? I do. Do you think there will be two goals? Do you think there'll be three? What are you basing that on? What are you basing it on? Then what price is it? How can I use that price? How can I get into that market in the way I want to, that suits me, that gives me an opportunity to profit, not just once, profit time and time again, repeating that process and covering the losers that I will have. So I like everybody as a starting point to, you know, we're going to run through these now. There will be one a week or a follow on of these. I'm going to run through these series of them. First part is, what do you want to do? So it may be a method that's already on FTS. It may be something you do yourself. It may be something you've looked at. You may want to go back to the drawing board and start from scratch, be it racing or football. What do you want to do? Carry on doing the other stuff, because I know people have got stuff going, but what is it that you want to do? And, oh, what should I do? Can you tell me? You need to choose. Do you want to play in the 1.5, the match odds, the 2.5, the 3.5, pre-race trading, golf, in-running racing, whatever it may be? Go and pick one. Go and pick one, and then plan out how you're going to find selections for it, what your process will be to do that, what do you need to execute that process? If it is plus on things, how are you going to do that? If you want to go down that road, if you're going to use readily available stats, if you're going to use prices, whatever it may be, if it's in play and you want to use shots on target, how are you going to get that information accurately? Whatever it may be, I'm not saying that's what you use. That's not for me. Are you going to use XG? Doesn't matter. Whatever, it's got to be you. What do you want to use? How are you going to put that into a process to use it? How are you then going to execute the trade? And then let's get into a period of testing it forward. But the first thing is, let's put maximum effort into what is it we're going to do. And then I will look at talking you through the stages of execution and things for different areas that people can use. But you've got to get all this down before you start, before we dive in and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm having a go at that. I'm going to throw, oh, I've got a bit of that. And it isn't just all about, all the old data showed me that. It's what can we then take forward? And that becomes a skill in itself. And that's something else I'll do another one of these on. Actually, what we're looking at and building out. And I'll talk about some of my models and things. But the starting point for you guys, genuinely, if you want to be serious about making money, is rather than trying to do everything, pick one thing. Pick one thing over the next week. Pick one thing. This is what I'm going to look at. This is what I want to do. It's what I can do. It's what I enjoy doing. It's what I've got time to do. Pick one thing and then list down the processes needed in your head, not in my head, in your head, not what other people tell you, not what you think you should write down. In your head, what do you need to be able to identify and use to take that forward, to be able to take it into a market, to be able to use that market to enter? All we're trying to do is enter and exit for a profit at different points. We're not trying to predict goals. We're just going to say, I want to be able to get in then, and I want to be able to exit then. I need that to happen. I think that will happen based on what I've done back here, and I can do it. But then you can tweak it. Once you've got 30 days results of it, you can look at it. You can analyse it and go, I've got that wrong. Or the games I'm picking are not likely based on the odds going to produce enough. So, you know, if we look at Dutch Jupiler League 2, yeah, they have loads of goals, but the odds for me are prohibitive. So it becomes harder when you're getting in at shorter odds all the time. It becomes harder when you're getting in at longer odds. It becomes harder the other way, because you're not going to get as many winners, so that creates its own battles. When you do get a win, it's a nice win, but you'll have lots of periods where you don't get those. So it's finding where you like to operate. Some people like the short end of the market. You take horse racing. Some people like to trade at the last fence and back things that they think are almost certainty. That's why you get a load of money at 103, 104, in the racing markets. I've got a friend of mine who backs very early, so he literally sees how the race settles down, backs things at a higher price that he thinks are going to improve in the race and lays them. That's what he does. He's very good at it. He's a premium charge payer doing that. Very, very good at it. But he doesn't get distracted by the noise. He doesn't get, oh, I got that one in play coming over the last, whatever it may be. He's got his own method. And I think that's one of the key things. You've got to have your own way of doing things. And I'll go back to what I did, lay the draw for 3 years, nothing. I've got this golf that I'm doing now, purely off my own. I've not looked at what anybody else does. I thought, this is what suits me. I like looking at golfers on a Friday who have a chance to be involved based on that. And obviously there's two or three I look and go, no, that's a one-off round, he'll drop back. But I've got golfers that I look at and think, I can trade around them. Of course, I don't get it right every week, but I don't need massive movements. I only need to, I might back four or five golfers and I only need two of them to improve significantly, and the other three could go backwards and I can still green it all up for a profit. So whatever it may be that you want to do, the starting point, what one market, one process, let's get that right. Because if we can't get that right, this mindset that you can go and do something else and get that right that time, I think is madness personally. It's my own personal view. I think you've got to sit and do one thing, map it out. What market do I want to be in? What's my process for finding selections for that market? How am I going to do it? What needs to happen for that to happen? What needs to happen in my market for me to be able to profit? Write it all down, map it all out, and then we can take that forward. So that's sort of the next part of planning. Now, I want anybody who's serious about this, irrespective of anything else you do, and I'm not saying if you're doing some fixed odds betting to keep it, one thing that you want to do, and I'll try and take you on that journey through over this series. That's it for this one, and I'll be back with another one later.